It is late night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. As always, the number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And I've been in Chicago since the weekend, which is why you guys haven't heard this spectacular voice booming through your audio device, whether it's your phone, your tablet, your car radio, whatever it may be, however you choose to tune in to Sports Radio WEI. That's why you haven't heard me in a few days, and you won't hear me at all next week because I go away for Thanksgiving. But for the next three nights, it's going to be an intimate gathering between you and I as we've got some things to hash out. So I'm glad I'm here for the next three consecutive nights leading into the holiday week. First of all, number to join me here, and I want you guys to line it up tonight because there's a lot to get to, at 617-779-7937. Look, there's some things we've talked about with the Celtics, and I knew you guys were going to think I was going to go somewhere else with this, but maybe we'll get there, maybe we won't later. We have to start this thing off Celtics because the fact is this. There's been a lot of talk here on the station, myself included, being very difficult on the Celtics, and I think deservedly so. I heard Reamer get into it a little bit earlier in his program when I first got in the car to head here. And my instant reaction to listening to Reamer was literally punching my dashboard because he wasn't giving much context to the things that he was saying. So, for example, you know, he went after Jason Tatum a little bit. And we've talked at nauseam about Tatum and his efficiency problems this year and the fact that he's taken a bit of a step back to start the season. And if you left it right there, as Reamer sort of did, I'll tell you, that's not doing anybody any favors. The fact is this, Jason Tatum is like 21 years old. He's in his second year, and he's had to adjust on the fly to an entirely new dynamic, a new role. It's not like he's coming back to the same situation, the same team. And the fact is, he'll get there. He's got to learn his way through this, as do most of his teammates. And that's the one thing here. I was very tough on Brad Stevens last week, and I will continue to be tough on Brad Stevens. And deservedly so. Brad Stevens has the hardest job in the NBA right now. But he's also been talked about in the same vein as Greg Popovich. So if you really want to be considered in that same class as a Greg Popovich, well, then you're going to get some of the heat. And I think Brad did a nice job here. The Celtics returning home, returning to form with their 111-82 victory. And when I say returning to form, I mean, look, the fact is this. The game looks a lot different when you shoot the ball decently. And that's what the Celtics did tonight. But they also dug back in defensively, only giving up 82 points to the Bulls. And I know the Bulls aren't world beaters, but you have to look at the Celtics and their, well, now they're 8-6, but they're, you know, whatever they were, 7-6 start through 13 games. You've got to look at that in context. And the context is this. Through the first month of the season, the Celtics fluctuated between the first and third ranked defensive team in the NBA. So despite all their offensive problems, for the most part on most nights, until the tail end of that West Coast trip, defensively, they've been who they need to be. It's been the offense that's been a problem. But if you were a betting person, wouldn't you bet that Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier, these guys are great offensive players. Wouldn't you bet that eventually their offense would come to form? And see, that's the thing here. The Celtics also, they had the hardest schedule of any other team in the NBA through the first month of the season. And that hasn't been talked about enough. You know, we could sit here and say, well, through 13 games, the Celtics were 7-6. And with all these expectations, that's wildly disappointing. And I can certainly have that discussion with you, and I would agree in certain parts of that conversation. But then I could flip that conversation on its head. And I could say, well, through 13 games, the Celtics, who had to reintegrate essentially 1.5 new players because Gordon Hayward is playing at half speed right now. He's 50% of the player that he will eventually be. But they had to reintegrate in these guys, and they had the hardest schedule, the most road-dominant schedule in the National Basketball Association, and they came out of it a game above 500, and now you look at what's upcoming for them with 17 of 19 games against teams that aren't really considered playoff teams and a home-heavy portion of the schedule. So we could very well be sitting here as the Celtics sort of make their way up through November and into Christmas Day in December when they play the Sixers. It could be a very different conversation 6 weeks from now. And that is simply a product of the schedule, right? So the Celtics got screwed a bit, starting the season a little bit earlier than usual, having the road portion of the schedule, the most difficult portion of the schedule, the hardest schedule in the league, at the same time that they had to reintegrate in Kyrie Irving and reintegrate in Gordon Hayward with limited practice time and a very limited preseason and a very, very limited training camp. Remember, they opened training camp on a Monday with media day, which means no real practice. So they practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and they played that Friday in Charlotte. So not a lot of time here to reintegrate in these guys. Not a lot of time here to sort of set this year's team on its proverbial track. And I think a lot of that training camp stuff, and I think a lot of that stuff that you would normally sort of make your way through, and it wouldn't be as pronounced if the schedule weren't so difficult, because on talent alone, like they did against a team like the Knicks, on talent alone, no matter how ugly it is, the Celtics are capable of winning games night in and night out, even if they don't play the right way, even if they don't play the way that we expect them to play. Because they've got elite talent, they can find themselves in games that they shouldn't be in. You could certainly make the argument there were more than two, maybe even three games on that road trip that they should have won. They came back from large deficits, put themselves in a position to win, and they did that on talent and talent alone. But now I think with this win under their belt tonight, a win that I'm not going to get too excited because of the competition, but a win where offensively they're able to score 111 points and defensively they're able to hold the Bulls to 82, to me that's a nice, nice start to what I think is going to be sort of a bit of a renaissance period here for the Celtics, as they're going to have some easy pickings. It's going to be an opportunity to get that win-loss record back in line with what our expectations are. It's going to be an opportunity to assert yourself in the Eastern Conference if all goes well. And because these games are more spread out, for example, you know, they've actually got a day off tomorrow. They don't play again until Friday. And these three games and four night situations aren't going to be as pronounced during the next 6 weeks of the schedule as they were during the first 4 weeks of the schedule. So they'll have some practice time as well. And things certainly get better for you when you play at home. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. You're driving home from the game. I want to hear from you guys. Tell me what you saw. What did you like tonight? What did we see from the Boston Celtics that was encouraging tonight? And I heard Reamer touch on this at the end of his show, and I did want to piggyback on this as well. You look at the stat line from Gordon Hayward tonight, and it doesn't tell you the value of how he played. And when I say the value, I don't use that word the same way that I would use that word when describing the way that Al Horford plays. Okay, Al Horford, I will forever be an Al Horford guy. I know he's never going to be the guy that puts up the gaudy numbers night in and night out that Maloney expects him to. I get that. Okay, and we can continue to agree to disagree on that. But Hayward eventually is a guy that's going to give you 17 to 22 a night. He has to. He's that dominant of an offensive player. And those numbers I've dialed back from what his ceiling really is, because when you're sharing the ball with Kyrie Irving, with Al Horford, with Jaylen Brown, with Jason Tatum, you're going to take a bit of a scoring hit. There's no getting around that. But by the end of the season, by the time the playoffs roll around, you want to see Gordon Hayward regularly giving you 17 to 22. And I think we saw some positive signs in that sort of vein tonight. He took some positive steps in that manner tonight. And I'll tell you why. He took 12 shots. That's a big deal. No more of the 6-7 shot attempt games. I don't care that he only hit four of them. He took 12 shots, which means he put himself in a position to score the basketball. And if you listen to the first half of the game, Tommy Heinsohn was absolutely spot on when he was saying that there were other opportunities where Hayward still was too willing of a passer. He needs to stop being such a willing passer. He is an elite passer at his position. But he needs to focus in on himself for a little while here. But he played with a confidence tonight. He played with a real sense of urgency tonight. He played with a real flow to his game tonight. And I'm confident that a lot of the shots that he missed that were wide open will start going down. More important to me is the way that he played within the team dynamic, the way that he was moving without the basketball, the way that he was able to stay on the defensive end and not get burnt time after time after time. If you didn't know anything about Hayward's injury and you just tuned into the game tonight, this is really one of only two or three games this season where he looked like he fully belonged out there. Also, he played 29 minutes, and if you listen to Brad Stevens, and if you read the Globe and the Herald and EEI.com, you know that Brad Stevens is talking about, you know, giving this guy additional minutes and starting to move away from that 25-minute restriction, and how that 25-minute restriction has really hampered Gordon Hayward's development, and how it's hampered Brad Stevens' ability to find the right mix of guys and find the right rotations of players. So 29 minutes tonight for Hayward, 11 points, but more importantly, he looked closer to me like the player that he eventually will be. So Hayward is a standout guy tonight, as well as other guys here, as the entire starting lineup gives you double figures. And that's what you're looking for from this team. What we said at the start of the season and what we will say at the end of the season if this team ultimately achieves its goals of being a strong playoff team and a team that's going to put itself in the NBA Finals is that this team is a team built on depth. And that depth really shone through tonight with six guys in double figures, including the entire starting five. So that's a good positive sign as well. Celtics with tomorrow off. Then they play again at home. Game two of a three-game homestand comes up on Friday. I really want to start this show off tonight talking about the Celtics, giving them some positive pub tonight because we have been so difficult on them. And then, of course, the other Celtics story that sort of came out earlier today. And if you missed it, I don't blame you because, let's face it, if we're counting on former Celtic Glenn Big Baby Davis to break news, then I'm sorry. You know, he's generally not a news breaker. He's been a part of some breaking news in the last 6 months that hasn't been exactly glowing in terms of what Glenn Big Baby Davis is doing for money these days. But Big Baby last night or today on Instagram, he comes out and he says, Celtics fans, lock it down, lock it up. He's got inside knowledge that says that Kevin Durant is going to be a member of the Celtics next year. And I want to talk about that tonight, because Kevin Durant was somebody that was very close to becoming a member of the Celtics a couple of years back. And if you've been living under a rock this week, then maybe you haven't heard that Kevin Durant and you know his Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green, they got into a bit of a fight the other night, and the fight spilled over into the locker room. It's led to Draymond being benched and then suspended. And now there's talk that Glenn Davis still has a lot of friends in the NBA, and he's hearing that Durant is saying that he's going to sign with the Celtics, which means that Durant would A, have to opt out of his $31 million contract. He's got a player option. And B, the Celtics would have to find a way to free up enough money to sign him, which isn't going to be easy to do. But then Bill Simmons today comes out with an alternate scenario, one that intrigues me. And he says, you know what? The Celtics have already got elite offensive talent, probably too much elite offensive talent, and they've got cap issues. So why would you overextend yourself cap-wise? Why would you dump maybe some of your younger players or not have the ability to sign them? Why would you put yourself in that sort of position when the right answer for this team, and it kills me to say this, but the right answer for this team would be to take advantage right now of this Kevin Durant, Draymond Green situation and flip Al Horford and Terry Rozier, who wants to be traded seemingly anyways, to the Golden State Warriors for Draymond Green and Sean Livingston. And I got to tell you, I'm on board with that. If I had to choose between Kevin Durant and, because I don't know what I've got to give up here. I don't know how this is going to work financially for the Celtics. And we'll be joined by WEI.com's Josue Pavone coming up around midnight tonight from the Garden. And I'm sure he'll give us a better indication as to how mathematically they could make this work and exactly who the Celtics would have to sacrifice off their roster to make this work, signing Kevin Durant as a free agent. But would you rather take a chance and sign Kevin Durant going into what will be his 13th year next year? And remember, it was Kyrie Irving coming off the West Coast road trip that said the Celtics need to sign a 14, 15-year veteran for that locker room. And we'll talk about that coming up in the next segment because that pissed me off. That was not a good look from Kyrie Irving. So we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit as well. But this Kevin Durant story is an interesting one. And I wonder if Kevin Durant, I know he's got his championships now, but I wonder if Kevin Durant is having a little bit of buyer's remorse. I wonder if he's looking around and saying, well, you know, maybe long term, this situation wasn't the one that I wanted to put myself in. And if you're the Celtics, you've got to take that call. You've got to take it seriously if there is interest there from Kevin Durant. But is that really what's best for this basketball team? Or your oldest player on a very young team right now is Al Horford. And if you had the opportunity to get out from Al's contract and trade him for Draymond Green, and if you want to include Terry Rozier and include Sean Livingston in the conversation, we can certainly do that, as Bill Simmons had. Is that something that Celtics fans would want? Is Draymond Green for Al Horford straight up something that you'd be interested in? You certainly get younger. You get a guy in Draymond Green that comes with an edge. He comes with an attitude. He's somebody that's got championship experience, but he is a wild card. And really, psychologically, you are trading probably your most psychologically stable star in the NBA for one of the more psychologically unstable stars in the NBA, and you're giving Brad Stevens yet another headache to deal with. But talent-wise, I don't think that you could argue that Draymond Green isn't a better fit because he does more, right? He spreads himself out more. He can defend all five positions. He's an elite defender. He's an elite rebounder. He can certainly score the basketball enough, but you know, much like Al Horford, he's not going to screw with this team's offense. He's not going to be somebody that you've got to get 12, 15, 18 shots a night to. That's not how he became an NBA All-Star. So I thought about this today, and I really got to say that I like the Celtics' young core, and the only player that I would break up the Celtics' young core for at this stage right now is Anthony Davis. I don't think I break it up for a Kevin Durant. I really don't. But if you can keep your young core, and I want you guys to think about this, if you can keep the young core and ship off Al Horford and his contract and bring back Draymond Green, does that put the Celtics closer to winning the 2019 NBA championship? Because that's what it's all about for this basketball team. That's the goal here, is to get themselves into the NBA Finals and win a championship. And are the Celtics a better basketball team for pulling off a potential move like that, for Danny Ainge trying to take advantage of what's happening in Golden State right now and maybe plucking Draymond Green away, but having to give up, and it is a sacrifice, having to give up a fan favorite and somebody that's become, I think, a leader on that team in Al Horford. It's not an easy choice to make, but it's one that I think ultimately, begrudgingly, I make all day long. So we'll talk about that tonight as well here on Late Night. It is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. There's room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Opening the show, talking about your Celtics as they beat the Bulls at the Garden tonight, 111-82, six players in double figures. The offense spread out pretty nicely tonight. Also want to talk about this sort of hypothetical trade that Bill Simmons threw out there today, sort of a counterpoint to what Big Baby put out there earlier as well. Big Baby Davis coming out and saying Kevin Durant to the Celtics is done. His people know it's done. It's going to happen in the offseason. Is that really what Celtics fans want right now? Or are you like Bill Simmons? And you say to yourself, well, maybe Durant isn't the guy that's fighting on Golden State that you want right now. Maybe the guy that's better for this group of talent, maybe the guy that's better for this particular Celtics team, and maybe the guy that will have the most impact on the court while having the least impact as far as trading away legitimate rotational players is trading an Al Horford for a Draymond Green. We'll talk about that when we come back right here, Sports Radio WEI. It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Opening the program tonight, talking about your Boston Celtics as they finally looked closer to the team that we expected them to be. They come away big winners tonight at the Garden, 111-82 win over the Chicago Bulls. We're talking about that here with you guys on Sports Radio WEI. You're driving home from the game. We'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you saw tonight at the game that got you excited. What did you see tonight that was different from this recent 1-4 abysmal West Coast road trip? Is this simply as easy as chalking it up to home cooking, or did this couple of days of practice time make an actual difference for Brad Stevens and his Boston Celtics? Because let's face it here, you know, the fact that they improved to 8-6, that's better than falling to 7-7, but this team is still a far way off from where they were expected to be and the team that we hope they will be at some point in the not so distant future. For me, one of the best signs tonight was the fact that while their offense was finally clicking, scoring 111 points, they didn't do it at the expense of their defense. And that's been a real trick-or-treat problem here with the Celtics team, where games where they've locked in defensively, unfortunately, their offense has struggled as well. But tonight, only giving up 82 points to the Bulls, 11 points for the Bulls in the second quarter tonight as the Celtics really broke things open, outscoring them 32-11. That was really the difference in this basketball game. And then finally, in the fourth quarter, once again, the Celtics doing damage, scoring 34 points to the Bulls, 23 points. Defensively, the Celtics were certainly locked in tonight, but more importantly for me, because the defense, once again, I know that it really had its troubling moments on that West Coast road trip, but for the most part this season, the Celtics defense hasn't been all that bad. They've been sort of teetering between the first and third ranked defensive team in the NBA for the majority of the season. Some nights it's been terrible, but for the most part, that hasn't been the largest problem for this basketball team. It's been the offense. It's been how ugly, out of place, out of sync the offense has looked. And what I really liked about tonight was the Celtics were able to get a win without Kyrie Irving having to be heroic and score 31, 32, 35 points. Tonight he shoots just 8 shots. He goes 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 1 of 1 from 3, and he gets himself 17 points. He's a plus 20 for the game. But because he only scored 17 points, that meant that other guys had to step up and do their jobs as well. And this was one of the first nights that I can really recall where you got all 5 starters looking really similar to the guys that we expect them to be. You know, Jason Tatum was 5 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. 5 of 14 is not what you're looking for from Jason Tatum. I understand that that's got to be closer to 7, 8 of 14 for us to ultimately be satisfied here. 14 points on the night, 6 rebounds on the night. But I'm not going to get all over Tatum for that because Jaylen Brown scored 18 points. He got up 14 shots tonight. That's a good sign. The fact that Tatum got up 14 shots tonight, that's a good sign. Gordon Hayward, this is the most positive thing that I think could come out of tonight's game. He only hit 4 of these shots, 4 of 12 from the field. But A, he increased his minute per game sort of output tonight, giving you 29 minutes rather than being held with the 25. But most importantly, he put up 12 shots, and he hasn't been a willing shooter. And this is something we've been really hammering him on most of the season, the fact that he only wants to shoot 5, 6, 7 shots a night. And he seemed an unwilling shooter at times this year. Tonight, Tommy Heinsohn pointed it out in the first quarter, second quarter as well, that there were still times where he appeared to be far too willing of a passer and not a willing enough shooter. Tonight, though, despite that, he still put up 12 shots. He's going to need to do more of that. 12 shots, 13, 14, 15 shots. Gordon Hayward is a much better basketball player than you think he is, and I'm talking to all of you. I've talked to you all ad nauseum here over the last month, and I still don't think anybody realizes just how good he is, just how good he used to be, I should say. People think of him as, you know, a white star in the NBA, and what does that mean? You think of a white star, you think of a great shooter, right? That's what you think of. And the fact is, yeah, he has been a very, very good shooter throughout his NBA career. But he's also somebody who's electric off the dribble. He's also somebody that has historically finished strong with thunderous dunks at the basket and and-one opportunities. He's also been an elite passer. He's also been an above-average defender. He's all these things. There's a reason why he was a swing player that made the All-Star team in the Western Conference, and that's not an easy thing to do. He is that good of a basketball player. There is a reason why the Celtics made him the 4th richest player in the NBA this season. You know, that's because they expect him to return to form at some point here. The only way he's going to get back to form is by being a willing shooter. I don't care that he only hit 1 of 4 from 3 tonight. I don't care about the fact that he only hit 4 field goals tonight. I care about the fact that he was willing to take 12 shots. That is certainly a step in the right direction. Want to talk about that with you guys tonight. You're driving home from the game. Join the program at 617-779-7937. You guys have heard enough from me. Let's go out to the phones. Let's go to Blair. Blair's in Maine. Blair, you're first up here on Late Night.
Well, I got to say, is they're 8-6, so this is pretty good, right? Aren't they 8-6 now?
They are 8-6, yeah. I mean, it's not,
this is good.
It's not where you want them to be. Last year, they had 11 wins at this point in the season, Blair, but But I get sick of comparing this year's team to last year's team. It's a different team.
As long as we get those duck boats rolling just like the Red Sox did, I'm okay with that. And as long as the Patriots do the same thing and get out there and get a parade, you know, as long as we both win championships, the Boston Celtics get a championship this year and the Patriots, New England Patriots, they both get a championship, I'm fine. I can't wait to watch them both get a championship and watch them on TV when they be rolling through Boston on Commerce Street and people go crazy because they've both won, both teams, all the teams pretty much won a championship. And the hockey team does it, you know. Boston Bruins. So it's all the teams, the Bruins, Celtics, and the Patriots all win this year a championship for the finals. That would
bold,
be great.
Bold prediction Stanley from you, Blair. Cup. All three teams are rolling up the duck boats, huh?
I hope so. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I hope that will happen because, I mean, the Celtics ain't playing bad. They're picking it up. The Bruins isn't playing that bad. They're playing pretty good at hockey right now. And look at the Patriots. They're playing pretty good. I mean, even though they lost this last weekend, they're going to beat the Jets. There's no doubt about that. I don't see them losing to the Jets. And they're playing pretty good football, so you can't look at the Patriots like they're playing bad.
But yeah, and we're going to
talk about the Celtics.
Let's talk about the Celtics here. What did you like from the game tonight, Blair? What did you see that
Kyrie
you liked?
Irving.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
And I also like Hayward. He wasn't that bad, but really, to tell you the truth, I was watching Kyrie and how he's making his three, and then he was making a two, and you can't complain about Kyrie, man. He's an excellent player. But here's another thing I want to bring up, Patrick, to you. Would you be okay some year comes around where we get LeBron James on the team? I think maybe that would be a perfect fit for us instead of L.A., but I think he might be a big guy in the middle. Would be great, like LeBron, you know, even though people hate him. I don't hate him, you know. He's kind of all right, you know. Might create a little bit of drama, but I think having LeBron in the middle and that might be a perfect fit. We get lucky to get him.
Hey, Blair,
that'd be great.
I got a question for you, Blair. Do you listen to the station in the morning?
No, 96.3, the AM Jab guy.
So you're not familiar with everything that's been going on with the morning show and the rotating hosts?
What have they been saying? Anything negative?
So, no, what I'm going to suggest to you, Blair, is there might be an opening here in the morning at some point, and you should certainly send a resume, send a tape in, Blair. You're optimistic. You're very sporty. I think that's what they're looking for here.
Yeah, that's kind of far. From Demerscotta, Maine, all the way up to where the studio is, that's kind of far every day for my mom to be doing that when she retired teaching at Downey High School in Downey, California, in Southern California. So
yeah,
he doesn't want to be getting up every day doing that, driving me all the time, and I would have to live out there. So that's not going to happen. But thanks for the offer, Trent. Thanks for thinking about me that way. I appreciate that. But that AC thing is going to be a heck of a thing for me to do in the summertime, so I don't think I'll be doing that again. Because my screen, I have to take the whole screen out of the window. That's a pain in the neck.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, Blair, and I told you this before. And listen, I appreciate the phone call. All I ask, if you don't put it in your window next year, you be as kind as I was to you, and you pass it along to somebody else that could use one. It is sports radio. WEI, I think that's the first time that, first of all, I didn't offer Blair a job. I just said that he should put himself into consideration for the job. And second of all, I wasn't expecting that sort of reaction. I think he turned down the opportunity because mom couldn't give him a ride. That's a new one for me. It is sports radio. WEI, number to join me here is 617-779-7937. Blair brought up LeBron James. He is not a realistic target for the Boston Celtics. However, Bill Simmons floated a potential target for the Celtics today. And I'm really surprised that I'm not getting more of a reaction about this because this guy is one of, I don't know, the most electric yet divisive guys in the league, and that's Draymond Green. And if you didn't catch it, Bill Simmons floated an idea earlier, sort of a point counterpoint to what Big Baby threw out there. Big Baby on Instagram didn't really suggest this. He more or less reported this, and he said that Kevin Durant is going to the Celtics next year. And again, he's going to have to opt out of his contract, and then the Celtics have to find a way to give him a max salary. I don't know how they pull that off. That is not going to be an easy thing to do financially when you've got three guys next year currently under max deals. So unless you're trading for Durant, and that's not what Big Baby said, unless you're trading for him, I don't know how you financially pull that off. And I think that what Bill Simmons did was he took that knowledge that the Celtics really don't have the ability to sign a Kevin Durant, and he said, whoa, you know, this Celtics team might not need a Kevin Durant now. They needed him a couple of years ago, but with all the offensive talent on this team, that's not the problem. But there may be an opportunity here for the Celtics to improve their chances to win a championship this year, to get younger, to I don't know, get themselves in a situation where they're not carrying Al Horford's large contract for the next couple of years and really make it a win-win for both teams. And it's very rare where you have two teams that are considered the favorites to go to the finals, and that's still what the Celtics are, and that certainly is what the Warriors are. It would be very rare for two teams of that ilk to make a trade of two starting players, but Bill Simmons, again, he threw this out there, and I don't hate the deal. Matter of fact, I like the deal, where he suggested trading Al Horford for Draymond Green. And there was filler in there as well. I believe it was Terry Rozier and Sean Livingston. They go in the deal as well. But the primary principles in this deal are Draymond Green and Al Horford. And as much as I love Al Horford, I think that the Celtics certainly could use a guy with an edge like a Draymond Green. I think that they're lacking in that. And that's what I really wanted to get into here before we wrap up this segment. And we'll talk about it more before we hit the top of the hour here, because I do want to get into this when we come back. It's Kyrie Irving. After the West Coast road trip, I think Kyrie's been spectacular on the floor. If you can erase the first 10 days of the season, okay, and you get to what he's done, his offensive output, his leadership on the floor, everything, he has been as advertised. He's played at a very high level, and he's seemingly only getting better. And this is what I don't get. When Dale Arnold questioned Kyrie Irving's leadership last week, we all sort of laughed it off, myself included. I accused Dale of not being an NBA guy, not watching the games, not understanding the total package that Kyrie Irving brings to the table. And I stand by what I said. That all that being said, I now have to wonder, does Kyrie not consider himself a leader? Because why would Kyrie Irving publicly say that maybe it's time for the Celtics to bring in a 14, 15-year veteran player? Isn't that what he is supposed to be, a leader in that locker room? Isn't that what Al Horford is supposed to be, a leader in that locker room? And did you find it surprising at all that the guy that seemingly everybody's turning to be the leader is Marcus Smart? It was Marcus Smart that stepped up and said that this stuff is inexcusable and that they have to be better and that this stuff doesn't fly with the Celtics. It was Marcus Smart that had the angry post-game talk after they wrapped up their West Coast road trip. Marcus Smart was that guy, not Kyrie Irving, not Al Horford. But is Kyrie Irving sort of missing the bigger picture here? Does he not fully understand the role that he must have on this basketball team for this team to achieve its ultimate goal here? Because if you're going to look to a fourth-year guy in Marcus Smart, or dare I say, look to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to be the leaders here, then you're not going to succeed. Then ultimately, you are going to fall short of your goals here. Kyrie Irving is going to be paid here this max contract this coming offseason, all right, this five-year max deal, this mega deal, to stay a Boston Celtic like he said he wants to be. But part of the responsibilities that come with that deal are being a willing team leader, being willing to be that guy that's an a-hole in the locker room, being willing to hold your teammates accountable. And I don't fully understand why Kyrie was more or less deflecting and putting this on Danny Ainge and saying it's time that we bring in a 14-year vet. I mean, Al Horford's been around for 12 years. Isn't he close enough to a 15-year vet? Kyrie's been around for seven. He's won a championship. He played with LeBron James. He knows what it's like to be on a team that's dysfunctional. Shouldn't he have some of that experience translate here and help this team out before this team becomes dysfunctional like some of those Cavaliers teams were? What the hell was Kyrie thinking? And did that make you think differently about Kyrie Irving at all? Or, let me throw this out to you. In the next couple of days, it's looking like the Houston Rockets are going to find a way to buy out, waive, get rid of Carmelo Anthony. It's just not working out. Carmelo hasn't played in a while now, and they're keeping him away from the team. It's the NBA's worst-kept secret right now that they're negotiating a way to get rid of Carmelo Anthony. The two teams that are leading the way as potential landing spots for Carmelo are the Lakers, and now the Sixers have emerged as the favorite to land Carmelo. And now you've got the Sixers here in the Eastern Conference that have gone out there and got better by picking up Jimmy Butler, and now they're going to go out there and seemingly try to get better by picking up a veteran player that still has some game left. If you look at Carmelo's offense this year, it's been good. He's had a 21-point game, a 23-point game, a 25-point game. I mean, he's played decently offensively. Something has gone wrong there with the Houston Rockets, but I don't think it's got everything to do with his ability to still play the game at a relatively high level. I think there's something else going on there. But if you're the Celtics, do you have to consider kicking the can on Carmelo Anthony, and would you? I know the easy answer is no, but I want us to think beyond the easy answer, because Carmelo is still somebody that Danny Ainge, and think of it from Danny Ainge's perspective, Danny Ainge has been intrigued with Carmelo for a long time now. He tried to pull the trigger on a deal multiple times when Carmelo was with the Knicks. He has thought about bringing Carmelo here more than once. Carmelo's going to be cheap and free for the taking. And do you bring him here if only to keep him from going to the Sixers? Is there a potential role here for Carmelo Anthony? And don't forget, Kyrie Irving and Carmelo Anthony played together on Team USA. They're friends. They are contemporaries. Is it possible that Kyrie Irving said what he said to sort of spark Danny Ainge to picking up Carmelo Anthony? I wonder if there was a double meaning to what Kyrie was saying, because to me it struck me as very, very odd that Kyrie Irving would go out there and say, you know, 13 games into the season at that point, we need to pick up a 14, 15-year veteran player when he is supposed to be that leader in the locker room and Al Horford is supposed to be the leader in that locker room. Was he publicly imploring his boss, publicly imploring his employer in Danny Ainge to go out there and pick up Carmelo Anthony before somebody else does? I want to know from you guys when we come back, is Carmelo Anthony somebody that would be a welcome addition to this basketball team? It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. Number to join me here is 617-779-7937. It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys here on Late Night. Number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Open the show tonight talking about the Celtics as they come away with a 111-82 victory at the Garden tonight over the Bulls. And again, not going to sit here and get all worked up with a win over the Chicago Bulls. They're 4-11, just 2-5 away from Chicago, right? But seeing that this Celtics team just lost to the Suns, you can't really take any opponent too lightly right now. For the Celtics, it's more about getting on the right track, developing good habits, getting a belief and a confidence back that you are an elite basketball team. Tonight was certainly a step in that right direction. But again, it's been an eventful news week here in the National Basketball Association, and you got to take these things with a grain of salt here. And I will say this. Earlier today on the other station, Brad Stevens was interviewed, and he said something that I sort of liked and I sort of didn't like, because I've been advocating for a while now that the Celtics potentially move Gordon Hayward and or Jaylen Brown to the bench, not because they're deserving to be bench players, but because you've got too much offense in that starting lineup and maybe not enough offense coming off the bench. And with a guy like Gordon Hayward specifically, I thought there might be the possibility of having him be the bench leader, meaning he could come in and start to give you that dynamic that he once had when he was with the Utah Jazz. And he could come in and be unafraid, be a willing shooter, be somebody that knows his role is to lead the offense of the second unit. And oh, by the way, I thought that it would be helpful for him personally and his game to play against other teams' second units as well, and maybe have an easier time getting his game back, getting his confidence back, being much more of a willing shooter. Tonight, he didn't come off the bench. He started once again, and that's what Brad Stevens said today on the other radio station. He said, look, I'm not making any changes here. Not yet, anyways. I believe in the talent on this team, and I believe that these guys are going to work it out. Tonight, they certainly took a step in that direction. Is it sustainable? I don't know. Eventually here, I think that maybe a move has to be made, and that's why I am certainly intrigued by the potential of this fantasy deal that Bill Simmons threw out there earlier today when he said, you know, maybe you can capitalize on all the drama taking place with the Warriors. Maybe you can pluck away Draymond Green. You have to give up Al Horford. And when you do that, you bring in a guy here that can certainly defend all five positions, if not play all five positions. But you also have somebody in here that you don't have to worry about really getting the ball to offensively all that much. I mean, he's going to get his 12, 14 points a night, but he's more importantly going to be somebody that's going to do all the dirty work. He's a larger version of Marcus Smart, right? And I think what that does is it makes your offense, everybody's role in the offense, that much more identifiable. I love Al Horford. I think that he's a winner. I think that there's a reason why every team that he's been on has been a playoff team. I don't want to see Al Horford go. However, they might come to the point this year where you say to yourself, geez, it's not working, and I don't want to see wholesale changes made here. I said this before, I'll say it again. The only player in the NBA that I would blow up the Celtics' young core for is a guy in Anthony Davis. That's it. Not even a Kevin Durant. I wouldn't trade away these guys for a Kevin Durant. I wouldn't screw this thing up for a Kevin Durant. I love Kevin Durant's game. I do. But I feel like game similar to Kevin Durant's, you can get an 85% of a player of Kevin Durant. Maybe Jason Tatum will be that guy. Maybe he'll be 90% of what Kevin Durant is. But to get a guy like Anthony Davis, well, he's the unicorn. To get a guy that's 7 feet tall that can do all the things that he can do, you would have to strongly consider trading away your young core to get a guy like Anthony Davis. He's the only player worth having that conversation for. So rather than doing what Big Baby said to do, and Big Baby, if you missed it, Big Baby said on Instagram that the Celtics are, he said definitively, the Celtics will have Kevin Durant next year. The only way it makes sense financially is to trade for him. You're not going to have the cap space to sign him. I wouldn't want to do that. You can make a smaller move and still improve your team, as Bill Simmons pointed out, where you can trade Al Horford for Draymond Green. Other players, other pieces would have to go in there as well to make it work financially. But I think that Draymond Green on this team solves a lot of this team's issues. Now, it makes your team a little bit more explosive, let's say, with multiple personalities. But I also think it gives this Celtics team an edge that they have been lacking through the first month, month and a half of the season. But it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones. We'll go. Let's go to Blake. Blake, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening, Blake?
So I think that Carmelo Anthony to the Celtics will be a very good idea for Danny Ainge to do. I've been a huge fan of it for the longest time, although a lot of my companions don't agree with it. But I think it could only benefit them in the long run right now, especially when it comes to they have so many lulls when they go to the bench. This will give them that firepower and also give Tatum another person to learn from aside from Kobe that he's been working out with and other players. So I think it's positives all around. Yes, he's not a defensive player, but Brad Stevens has a way of getting the best out of everybody that he seems to get. Example, Crawford is a perfect example. And he left the Celtics, and what happened since then?
Yeah, Jordan Crawford essentially out of the league since then. No, you're right. And you and I are in the minority, Blake. I've been a fan of trying to get Carmelo here for a long time. And now you're at the point where, the price is right. It's not going to cost you much to get him here at all once he's cut, released by the Houston Rockets. And B, the secondary reason is I don't want to see him going to Philadelphia. Philadelphia just got better by picking up Jimmy Butler. I don't think by them getting another veteran piece that can still score, that further hurts the Celtics. And C, quite frankly here, this is the guy in Carmelo Anthony that's been one of the league's elite scorers for a long time. And this is a Celtics team that, has been known to go through some pretty serious scoring droughts. So to have that other option off the bench, if only as a guy that can come in and be your instant offense off the bench, I feel like it could potentially be a win-win, and there's no risk. If it doesn't work out, exactly, you can do what Houston is doing.
Especially if something were to happen to, Lord forbid, Kyrie or Hayward or another starter, you would have Anthony there to fill in those starter minutes, and you'll know what you'll get from him.
Let me ask you this, Blake, before you go. You said you were at the game tonight. Just watching the game tonight on TV, it looked to me, I understand that Gordon Hayward only finished with 11 points, but to me anyways, it looked like he almost turned up his speed level a little bit. Like, he was more involved in every play. He looked like he belonged out there. He wasn't getting beat defensively off the dribble the way he had been. He was much more willing to go to the basket. Live and in person, did it look like he belonged out there more tonight than he had in previous games?
I would say that he definitely looked like he belonged. You could tell he's still getting his feet underneath him, but you could definitely tell he's starting to turn that corner.
Yep.
And when he does, the league better watch out.
Listen, Blake, man, I appreciate the phone call. Drive safely tonight. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Open the show tonight talking about the Celtics tonight, talking about, this Celtics win over the Chicago Bulls, 111-82. We'll be joined by WEEI.com's Josue Pavone coming up shortly after midnight tonight. He's at the Garden doing his post-game work, and then we'll hear from Josue when he wraps all that stuff up. I've got a few questions for him, so I'm excited to talk to Josue coming up in about an hour. Until then, we'll get to more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Mako. Mako's in Lynn. Mako, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hi, thank you for having me. I feel as if what Kyrie said wasn't too bad, because if you look at LeBron, when he was with the Cavs or with the Heat, he had a Udonis Haslam. And then I think he also had Jim Jones as, you know, as a veteran presence in a sense. So I don't think necessarily that it kind of defers the leadership from Kyrie. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Listen, man, I appreciate the phone call. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad point. You know, Udonis Haslem is somebody that had that championship experience, was been with the Heat for, what, 13, 14 years, was on that team when they won the 06 title. I get it. But when you look at this Celtics team and you talk about their deficiencies, you talk about their weaknesses going into the season, the need for another veteran player wasn't one of them, because what was supposed to make this team so special, so dynamic, so unique was the fact that, yeah, they had the young talent. They had Jason Tatum. They had Terry Rozier. They had Jaylen Brown. But they also had this unique combination, this unique mix of veteran players that have been around for 5, 6, 7, 12 years. Gordon Hayward, veteran player. Kyrie Irving, veteran player with championship experience. A championship under his belt. And Al Horford, a guy that's been around for a decade plus with, what, 10, 11, 12 consecutive years of playoff experience under his belt as well. So, you know, this team, I don't think, needs another veteran to call them out. But maybe they do, because it seems to me that Kyrie was unwilling to be that guy to hold his teammates accountable. And even Al Horford, unwilling to hold his teammates accountable. And coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Brad Stevens, who touched on some of this stuff tonight in the postgame. Because that pissed me off a little bit. One of the reasons why Kyrie Irving is this MVP-level player goes beyond his tremendous talent on the court. He's also somebody that's supposed to be a leader on this basketball team. And to me, when you're the leader, asking your general manager to bring about another leader, what does that say about your leadership abilities and your willingness to be a leader on this basketball team? Unless the only excuse that will fly here, unless that was Kyrie's way of publicly asking Danny Ainge to bring in Carmelo Anthony. It is Sports Radio WEI. Room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Brian. Brian's in Providence. Brian, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, really good. I'm glad I get to talk to you guys. You know, it's cool that we're talking about the Celtics and everything, and, you know, the Patriots are struggling a little bit. But in all honesty, you guys need to bring Kirk back, man.
Listen, I am the biggest Kirk Minahan fan that you'll ever meet. Kirk has been somebody that he's allowed me the privilege of being on the morning show with him a few times. He's been instrumental in my success here, and he's somebody that, quite frankly, we've had a few personal emails go back and forth. My dad's, you know, not doing so well with cancer. He lost his parents to cancer. You know, Kirk's a genuine guy for all the stuff that he does in the morning show. That's a lot of that is what it is. But he's a really great guy. And Brian, all I can say is this. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, tune into the morning show. Kirk will be in studio with the guys, and you'll get all your answers. We will get all the answers that we're all looking for from Kirk coming up relatively shortly.
Appreciate it, man. Like, yeah, no, like he's like, you know, he's the Mookie Betts to the Red Sox. He's the Gordon Hayward to the Celtics. He's the Tom Brady to the Patriots. So I want him back.
Yeah,
thank you, man.
As do we. I appreciate the call, Brian. Number to join us here is 617-779-7937. And look, you know, we all want Kirk back. And the guy made a great analogy. Here's the thing, right? I feel like we've got a great team here, but every great team has got their one leader and the one guy that is instrumental in that team's success. And we'd be kidding ourselves and lying to ourselves if we didn't consider Kirk to be that guy. We talk a lot about the Patriots and what's going to happen in the post-Tom Brady era. Well, we all know what's going to happen. It doesn't make a difference if this team goes out there and finishes this year with 13 wins, 12 wins, whatever it may be. First round bye, AFC championship game at Gillette. You know, another year where you go to the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter, because you know that clock is ticking on Tom Brady. We're starting to see maybe the beginning of a decline, although I don't think that's really the case with Brady. I'm just using the analogy, okay? We also know that at some point here, what happens when Tom Brady walks away from the game? The Patriots suddenly fall back to the pack. And maybe they don't, you know, become that 1-15 team that they were back in the late 80s, early 90s. Maybe that doesn't happen, but maybe they go, you know, 6-10. And that's just not what you're looking for, not from a team, not from an establishment that has provided the fact that has been excellent for as long as the Patriots have been dominant, right? And it's a very similar thing here. This station's been around for 25 years. They've dominated for the most part for 25 years, going all the way back to Eddie Andelman through the Big Show and then DNC eventually morphing in to KNC. You don't want to see your leader in his prime walk away from his game. You don't want to see it. Here it is, Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937.